And I'm David Green, live in Paris, where we've set up an ad hoc studio along a street, the Rue Saint-Lazare, and a stroll before dawn down this boulevard showed us how Parisians are trying to get back to normal. We walk down the street in one direction. There's an open-air bakery right on the corner selling baguettes and croissants to the tune of a pop radio station. Now, if you go a little further up the boulevard, you come to a tobacco shop that was packed with immigrant men at the early hour of the morning, putting down euro coins for packs of cigarettes, lottery tickets, and paper cups of espresso. You know, Paris, it's long been a city of immigrants, but there are now fears of a backlash against the refugees who are streaming into Europe. And my colleague Lauren Freyer met one Syrian refugee who was here in Paris at the time of the attacks.
So how many people live here?
Three. Bastien and Sophie, they are actors.
Actors?
Shadi Abu Fakhr rents a room from two struggling French actors next to the superhighway that encircles Paris. Music by Fayrouz, an icon in the Arab world, plays softly in the cramped apartment.
All the time we hear Fayrouz in Syria in the morning. People Syria have a special memory with Fayrouz because
Shadi fled Syria 3 years ago. He's a peace activist, did time in Syrian regime prisons, and finally got refugee status in France. On Friday night, he was in a Paris cafe when smartphones started beeping. Suicide bombers had struck the city. He says his heart sank for the victims and for his fellow Syrian refugees.
Because most this person go out Syria because they see more dead and don't want to see another dead, don't want to see another war, another bomb, another problem.
Syrians are fleeing war only to find ISIS here in the place where they sought refuge. Shadi says he's already feeling a backlash against Syrian refugees.
This is crazy for me. It's you refugee.
Yeah, I am refugee, but why? What problem? I don't eat you.
A Syrian passport was found near the body of one of Friday's bombers.
All the world, you see, but I am not make this, and the refugee Syria not make this. Make this the people Europe, not we.
The people from Europe, he says, have trained with ISIS in Syria and then gone back to attack their own countries. It's the chaos of war that allows ISIS to operate, he says. He hopes the Paris attacks jumpstart ceasefire talks in Syria, where even children now can identify warplanes.
You now know children in Syria looking for, this is F-22. No, this is Mirage. This is game now in Syria for children.
Okay, you can watch something.
Shadi logs onto Facebook to show me a video of bombs exploding at a Syrian elementary school. He sighs and rubs his eyes. He thinks he'll have to be here a while longer. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Paris.
So as we just heard right there, Syrians are fleeing ISIS, often only to find the signs of ISIS again here in Europe. Terrorism. It can have a long tail and a heavy impact for many generations. And last night we met Guillaume Denois de Saint-Marc. He heads the French Association of Victims of Terrorism. He works with victims of terrorist attacks and their families. And we stood with him in a quiet courtyard in Paris as dusk was falling and the sounds of children playing was filtering down from the apartments above. He has personal experience with terrorism, as he told me.
I've got 26 years of experience in victims of terrorism. I've lost my father in a terrorist attack 26 years ago.
Where was that? What attack?
It was an attack on a French plane over Niger. There was 170 persons killed, and my father was on board. And I'm the person who, many years after, negotiated directly with Gaddafi and the Gaddafi Foundation for the Libya to recognize their responsibility on it and give a compensation to the families.
So you negotiated with Gaddafi's son?
Yes, I did.
When you saw Gaddafi was killed, how did you react to that?
I was not happy that he was killed because I don't have any hate against him. I wanted him to be in a jail and I wanted him to be judged in front of a court.
You wanted him to live to be judged?
Yes. I have no vengeance against him. I met his son. I also, the brother-in-law is Abdelaziz Senoussi, the one who organized the terrorist attack. I met his daughter many times. And I have no hate against her daughter and for his her father. I just want him to be in Paris, to be judged in France. That would be my dream.
How did you let go of the vengeance?
You can see that mostly all the victims of terrorism are not seeking for vengeance. It's something that links us as victims of terrorism, because vengeance just destroys you. Hate just destroys you, and you want to live. And the only way to live is to be different than them, because we have to cut the circle of violence, and we have to be different. Our values are not their values, and that helps us not to be like them.
How can you convince people, though, I mean, who we've talked to on the streets in the last few days, who have just responded and said, let's go to war, let's go to war against ISIS?
You know, it's complicated for them, and they have a lot of emotion, and they have anger. But this will not last. And this is really common to all the victims of terrorism. Vengeance is never a solution, because then you are at the same level as the perpetrators.
Is it wrong for political leaders to react in a very aggressive way after a terrorist attack and say we have to start bombing, we have to be at war?
I don't want them to do it in our name.
You don't want them to do it in the name of victims?
Yeah. We have to destroy ISIS, but I'm not sure that doing only security or military aspect would be enough. You cannot fight an ideology just by the weapons. Vengeance should not exist. We ask for justice.
That was Guillaume Denoy de Saint-Marc. He heads the French Association for Victims of Terrorism. And I want to bring another voice in here. She's sitting next to me here in Paris. It's Nathalie Goulet. She's a member of French Parliament. She's vice chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate. Madam Senator, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, the activist we just heard from right there, you cannot fight an ideology only with weapons. It just makes me wonder, could France be doing more to prevent the root causes of terrorism?
Well, you point exactly what I did yesterday after the presidential speech, because he was talking in terms of war, in terms of army, in terms of intelligence, but he didn't told us anything about prevention. And that is a big missing part of his speech.
Well, what if there's something missing, what would you have put in that speech if you were giving it?
Part is missing because, you know, it's if you don't work on the youth of this country, you know that we have a fairly impressive amount of French foreign fighters. You also have people under survey, and among the 10,000 people, you almost have 30% unconvert people who convert from Christian into Muslim to fight. And you can close the borders, you can put people in jail. Then you will have more people who will join ISIL or be on the verge of radicalization, or because they got this radicalization in jail, which is a hell of a problem, or because we don't stop them to convert and use this bad way to be Muslim.
But let me just ask you, if you're talking about more surveillance, how do you balance more surveillance against going too far and taking away individual freedoms and sort of being too aggressive in minority communities?
But first of all, you know, let me put that in that way. You have to name the enemy. Okay, it's easy. You have Daesh, you have ISIL. You know, it's easy. You name the enemy. But if you don't name the other enemy, which is Salafism, you have to name it. So we have some, you know, we do not live in a communitarism society. It's not United States here. You know, we have this laicity, clerical law, which means that the state has not to be involved in the religion. So you have to take care of the imam or a chaplain. They are not trained here. They are trained abroad. They are trained in sometimes Salafism schools, mm-hmm. or those kind of institutions, and you cannot check on them. So we have to prevent them. to bring the people to radicalization.
All right, we've been speaking here with Nathalie Goulet. She's a member of French Parliament, and she's the vice chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the French Parliament. Senator, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.